This segment is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Visit them on the web at sectorspiders.com or call 866-SECTOR-ETF.
Tired of being in the dark about your investment? How does your portfolio's performance really measure up? Is your investment plan on or off track? Get the answer at portfolioreportcard.com. Ronda Leggi's grading system of A, B, C, D, or F will tell you if your 401k plan, IRA, or other investment account passes or fails. But that's not all. If your portfolio gets an A, Ron will pay you $100. Go to portfolioreportcard.com and find out if you pass or fail.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Coming up on today's show, I do a portfolio report card on a $1.1 million portfolio. This will be for JL. They're in their mid-40s. They live in Connecticut. They're self-employed. They've got two beautiful children, and they asked me to analyze and grade their portfolio. So we're going to do that on today's show. Also coming up, beware of skewed performance comparisons. What do I mean? Well, many, many people, as well as fund companies and financial advisors, are still using inappropriate yardsticks for measuring investment performance. On today's show, you're going to learn how to use the right yardsticks so as to not make that mistake. If you'd like to join us, you can tweet the program live. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. You can also follow us there. Like us on Facebook. At Index Show, again, is my Twitter handle. We're very active there. Also, if you'd like to get a portfolio report card and take my challenge, find out if your portfolio gets an A, B, C, D, or F. Does it pass? Does it flunk? Is it a 401k plan, IRA, taxable brokerage account, trust account, UGMA account? You name it, I'll grade it. Go to portfolioreportcard.com. If you get an A, I will pay you $100. Find out if you pass or fail. Now, I want to talk about, before we get into this portfolio report card for JL, I want to talk about what's going on in financial markets and give you a quick recap, beginning with the S&P 500, which tracks large company stocks here in the U.S. SPY is the ETF that tracks the S&P 500, hit a new high in late April and then fell below $209 a share. Now, the ETF is still within 2% of its high and it's still in a clear uptrend overall. However, breadth indicators suggest that participation in the advance is narrowing. You'll notice that the S&P 500, its whole high-low percentage, exceeded 10% each month from November to March. Now, even though the S&P 500 ETF, SPY, hit new highs in April, this time around, the high-low percent did not exceed 8%. Now, previously, it exceeded 10%. This time it stayed under that. What does that mean? Fewer and fewer stocks are hitting new highs and confirming the new high in the overall index. So what does that mean? Well, this is a slightly bearish divergence, and it does suggest, again, that fewer stocks are participating in the rally, and this is one of those breadth indicators indicating that this is a less strong advance, and this narrowing of stock market participation in these highs, it could foreshadow an upcoming correction. We'll just have to see. In the meantime, it's really like a yellow light. It's not a full-blown red light, but it is a yellow light. We'll see what can happen here if more and more stocks can start participating in the rally. So that's what's going on there. Ticker symbol VTI tracks total U.S. stock market, ahead by just over 3% since the beginning of the year. International stocks and emerging market stocks continue to be outstanding performers, ahead by just over 10%. VEA, that tracks developed international stocks, and then VWO tracks emerging market stocks. Those two areas again, ahead by over 10%. So you see the divergence there in terms of performance. Total U.S. stock market up barely 3%, and the rest of the world up over 10%. Total U.S. bond market also underperforming, up about 1% since the beginning of 2015. And then gold down 0.5%, ticker symbol GLD. We continue to see lethargical performance on the part of precious metals. Global real estate market, ticker symbol REET, ahead by almost 1%. And we see the stellar performance of global REITs or real estate stocks is beginning to slow that that velocity of uptrend. Is still in place, but it is slowing. So that's what's going on with key asset classes across the globe. We'll get you caught up on what some of the key industry sectors are doing within the S&P 500 in a little bit. I also want to get you caught up on what happened this past week in social media stocks. Some of those individual stocks like Yelp and Twitter and Linked really taken a beating this past week. And I'll get you caught up on what's going on there. Again, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. You can follow us and tweet us at Index Show is my Twitter handle. I also publish every single month the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter, and our May issue is out. I encourage you to go pick up a copy. All you got to do is go to etfguide.com and click on the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter and subscribe. We're going to do a portfolio report card on today's show for JL. They are a married couple in their mid-40s. They live in Connecticut, and they have two children. They manage their own investments. They're self-employed. And this $1.14 million portfolio is spread across a taxable brokerage account, two traditional IRAs, two SEP IRAs, two UGMA accounts, a rollover IRA, and a Roth IRA. So a lot of different accounts happening here. If we add up all their holdings across these various accounts, altogether they own 21 mutual funds and one individual stock. And that one stock is Disney, ticker symbol DIS. So JL asked me to do a portfolio report card analysis on their investments to find out if they are properly aligned. And on today's show, we're going to dig through their portfolio and see if it passes or fails in the five grading categories, which are cost, diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. And then at the end of today's show, I will give them a final grade of A, B, C, D, or F. If they get an A, I pay them $100. We shall see. I also call out the portfolio report card marching band, and they play their music if that occurs. Now, just to give you some background about what type of investors they are, their main goal, their main strategy, they told me, is to increase their portfolio by receiving a significantly greater than average return. They are aggressive growth investors. They have no income objective. They are fully allocated to equities. They're fully committed. Back in 2008, when the market was crashing, they told me they only wished they had more money to invest at the time. They were unfortunately fully invested. That means they didn't have any cash to put into the market when it was crashing. But nevertheless, the investments that they own, they held. So that's nice to see. They didn't get panicky. They didn't sell at the very bottom. They held on, and so they have obviously enjoyed the rebound. But now the question is this current portfolio that they have assembled, this $1.1 million portfolio, is it helping them or hurting them? Is it helping them to reach their goals, or is it hindering their progress? Well, we're going to find out on today's show. We'll get into some of the first grading categories of cost and diversification in the next segment, so stay tuned for that. Also, I want to talk about how to properly measure investment performance. Now, this is very important because a lot of people are using the wrong yardsticks for measuring the performance of not just their portfolio, but their mutual funds. And this is a really big problem, not just with individual investors, but fund companies as well as financial advisors. I mean, it's shocking to see how many people are using the wrong yardsticks, the wrong benchmarks for judging investment performance. And on today's show, I'm going to explain to you how you can avoid making this same mistake. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show, and I'll be right back.
Show with Ron DeLegge.
Well, the more things change, the more they stay the same. That's certainly been the case in terms of industry sector performance, with healthcare stocks continuing to lead the market higher. And ticker symbol XLV is a S&P healthcare spider, tracks those healthcare and pharmaceutical stocks within the S&P 500. XLV ahead by 6.5% since the beginning of the year. That continues to be the best performer within the S&P 500. Also doing well are energy stocks, ticker symbol XLE, up about 5.5%, as well as technology stocks, XLK, ahead by 4.6%. So those are some of the top performing industry sectors within the S&P 500. Again, healthcare, technology, and energy. And at the opposite spectrum, we've got utility stocks, XLU, as well as financial stocks, XLF, underperformers, both of those areas down about 1 to 5%. And of course, utilities performing the worst. Now, it's interesting because last year, it was actually utilities that were the best performing sector in the S&P 500. This year has not been that case. So that's what's going on sector-wise. Now, in terms of social media stocks, ticker symbol SOCL is a social media ETF. It's ahead by 10% since the beginning of 2015. However, this past week, we saw a magnificent collapse in the price and performance of social media stocks, from Yelp to Twitter to LinkedIn, all those stocks being crushed between 15 to 20% in value. And it was pretty amazing to see. SOCL fell around 5% over the past week. Nevertheless, it's still ahead by 10% year to date, but we're seeing some negative earnings as well as negative guidance coming out of this particular segment. Social media stocks taking a little bit of a breather in terms of that hot performance that they've had over the past year. Now, let's direct our attention to the portfolio report card that we're going to do for JL in Connecticut. They're in their mid-40s. They're aggressive growth investors. They manage their own investments. And they've got $1.1 million invested in 21 mutual funds and one individual stocks. We're going to drill down and take a look at some of those specific holdings. Now, let's begin with the first grading category, which is cost. Now, among the easiest ways to minimize the threat of investment cost is to minimize your trading activity, right? I mean, that's pretty easy to understand, because the less trades you do, the less commissions you pay. That's one thing. But for investors that use mutual funds or ETFs, there's another part of this, and that's to stick with the funds that are linked to indexes, because this is another way to cut the negative impact of cost. Now, you take a look at JL's combined portfolios. They got 21 mutual funds, all from Vanguard. And the annual fund expenses range on the low end from 5 basis points, that's 0.05%, all the way up to 61 basis points, 0.61%. But interestingly, if we take a look at the three largest holdings, that's the Vanguard Midcap Growth Fund, ticker symbol VMGMX. They've got, in that particular fund, over $100,000 committed. They've got the Vanguard Total Stock Market Fund, ticker symbol VTSAX. And in that particular fund, again, you've got a substantial amount committed there, well over $100,000. And then the other fund, the Vanguard Explorer Fund, VEXPX. And if we look at all of these funds, pretty much their largest holdings, they all have expense ratios under 30 basis points or 0.30%, which means that JL has made a deliberate choice to minimize investment costs. Isn't that the way it should be for all of us? We shouldn't be making accidental choices when it comes to our investments. We should be making deliberate choices, and certainly every single one of us can minimize the investment cost of our portfolio. JL has done a good job in this particular grading category of minimizing cost. Next up is diversification. A truly diversified investment portfolio always has exposure to the five major asset classes. Now, do you remember what those five major asset classes are? Well, if you forgot, let me just tell you. Stocks, bonds, commodities, real estate, and cash. If you claim to have a diversified portfolio and you don't have exposure to all five of those asset classes, well, then you're not really diversified, are you? So how does JL's portfolio do? Well, the combined portfolios have exposure to U.S. and international stocks. We already gave you a couple ticker symbols. They own that Vanguard Total U.S. Stock Market Fund, VTSAX. On the international side, they own the Vanguard Global Equity Fund, VHGEX, as well as the Vanguard Total International Fund, VTIAX. So they do have some international exposure. That's good. They've also got some exposure to real estate, ticker symbol V. Let's see, this is the Vanguard REIT ETF. And again, that ticker symbol, let's see, can I find it? Well, I'll find it for you in a second. I can't dig it up here. But so they do have exposure to REITs. That's good. And they do have exposure to cash. They've got that Vanguard Money Market Fund, ticker symbol VMMXX. So that's outstanding. That's what we want to see. So in terms of overall diversification, I think they do a pretty good job. However, they do miss some exposure to bonds as well as global real estate. Now, they do have exposure to U.S. real estate, but I don't see any exposure to global real estate, so that's a shortcoming. And then also, they've got no exposure to commodities, which is a major asset class, so that's a missing component. So that's definitely a problem. And I also see that for her SEP IRA, in her SEP IRA, she's got VTSAX, which invests in the same areas as VFIAX, as well as VMGMX and VSGAX. So what's that called? That's called over-diversification. When you have a fund that invests in the same areas and they're different ticker symbols, well, what's the point? It really isn't any point. And the whole thing here is to create a diversified portfolio, not a cluttered portfolio. So I think they can do a little bit of a better job in minimizing some of that those overlapping positions. So definitely need to make some improvements in terms of diversification. We'll take a look at risk, tax efficiency, and performance coming up next. If you're just joining us, again, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge, and we're here every week at this same hour, talking the birds and the bees of successful investing. If you'd like to get a portfolio report card, find out if your portfolio passes or fails, all you got to do is go to portfolioreportcard.com, and I will analyze and grade your portfolio. I do ask that you provide me with the portfolio data that I need to analyze your holdings and judge whether your portfolio is architecturally sound and well-built or not. You know, it's funny that I've had some requests for the report card, and then what ends up happening is people don't follow through. They don't provide the portfolio data that I need, or they're kind of shocked that I ask for portfolio data. I guess they kind of think that, you know, I can invent a grade out of thin air without looking at the portfolio data, and that is not the case. This is a full body exam. And just like the doctor, When you go to the doctor and you ask for a full body exam, he tells you to get naked. And if you don't get naked, well, the doctor can't examine you. And he's going to tell you, well, get out of my office, quit wasting my time. I can't examine you and tell you if you're healthy or not by looking at you across the room. And it's the same way with the portfolio report card. You've got to be honest and you've got to be diligent and organized. I'm Ron DeLegge, and I'll be right back. Go nowhere!
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
All right, welcome back from the break. Just want to remind our radio listeners, if you ever miss our regular radio broadcast for whatever reason, if you can't catch it or you want to listen to it again, you can go to iTunes, search under the Index Investing Show, and you can find us and listen there at your leisure. We also publish the show via SoundCloud, and soundcloud.com is the URL. Go there and subscribe to our podcast, and you can listen to not just this particular episode, but others that we've done. Now, if you missed last week's show, I did a portfolio report card on a tremendous investment portfolio, one of the biggest that I've had the privilege of analyzing and grading. It was a $26.9 million portfolio, just incredible. Not just because of its size, but just because of its orientation, how it was built. And I encourage you to listen to that particular episode. That particular person who submitted that portfolio went to portfolioreportcard.com and made the request, followed through. And like I said, that was an amazing portfolio. That particular listener bought Apple, bought Amgen, bought Biogen, these types of stocks over 20 years ago and held them. Bought and held these stocks for 20 years. Amgen alone, that particular stock was purchased in 1987 and just bought and held these stocks. And it's just a tremendous portfolio. And listen to all the details again on the podcast. Just again, you can listen at iTunes or SoundCloud. Now, for today's show, I'm doing this portfolio report card for JL, located in Connecticut. Now, this is a married couple. They're in their mid-40s. They have two children. They manage their own investments. All of their funds, and they've got 21, are with Vanguard. They own one individual stock, Disney, which accounts for about $41,000 of their total portfolio, so not a very big position. And the bulk of their money is in Vanguard large cap, mid cap, and small cap U.S. funds, with a very small percentage in international stocks. Now, the next grading category, we already looked at cost and diversification. They did great in cost in terms of minimizing cost. Diversification, they definitely need to make some improvements. Now, in terms of risk, I want to say just two things about risk, okay? The first thing is people that say, well, I'm a long-term investor. Or people that say, well, the stock market always bounces back, so I'm going to invest however the heck I feel. Well, these two things are not credible forms of risk management. Now, why do I say that? Because diligent and proper risk management is always proactive versus being passive or reactive. And people that say, well, I'm a long-term investor and the stock market always bounces back, those types of individuals are passive. And they also tend to be reactive when the market starts to act up. On the other hand, the proactive investor thinks about risk management before it starts hailing cannonballs. Now, JL's portfolio, they describe themselves as aggressive investors. So what I want to see is, I want to make sure that how they've described themselves is exactly matches up with the portfolio's, their portfolio's risk character. Because this is what it's all about. It's compatibility between yourself and your portfolio. And if there is a harmony happening there. So the asset mix of the portfolio should be right in line with how much risk tolerance you have. It should also be age appropriate. You can't be a 60 or 70 year old investor with the asset allocation of a teenager. Now, JL, again, describe themselves as aggressive investors. If we take a look at their overall portfolio asset allocation or asset mix, they've got 93% stocks, 1% real estate, and 6% cash. Now, I would say, even though they're aggressive, this current asset mix is a little bit heavy on stocks and probably more aggressive than they might understand. Let me give you some context. This particular asset mix, this 93% exposure to stocks for this $1.1 million portfolio, if we encounter a 20 to 40% correction in equities, that would expose this total portfolio's current asset mix to potential losses of $200,000 all the way up to $425,000. That would be a significant hit. And so what I'm saying is that I think JL probably needs to do a little bit better of a job when it comes to risk management. I'm not saying unload equities or stocks completely, but what I am saying is to probably dial back a little bit and have some exposure to some of the asset classes they're missing. But again, it's okay to be aggressive, but let's also look at the potential types of volatility and risk that we're putting our money at risk for by having the asset mixes that we choose. So I think they could do a better job in terms of risk. The next grading category is tax efficiency. And what do I mean by tax efficiency? Well, I'm talking about minimizing the impact, the negative impact of taxes. And none of us can escape completely the threat of income taxes. But what we can do as investors is build a portfolio that is tax efficient, that deliberately aims to curtail the negative impact of taxes. Now, how do you do this? Well, there's two ways. Number one, own tax-efficient investment vehicles like index funds and index ETFs. That's something we all can do. If you own individual stocks, well, don't trade them. Don't buy and sell them. If you have lots of short-term capital gains, well, that's nice. But guess what? You're going to pay a higher tax rate than a long-term investor. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is to allocate your money, what we say is smart asset location, so that you take your tax inefficient assets like your bonds and your REITs, as well as your commodities, and keep those in your tax deferred retirement accounts. And then your tax efficient assets like stocks can be kept in your taxable account. So it's just about having the proper framework and a little bit of planning. You don't have to be a CPA to do these types of things. So JL, from what I can see, has not made any premature retirement plan distributions in their IRA accounts. That's good. In their taxable brokerage account, they own all stocks. So they own no bonds. And for the most part, all these funds they own, in their taxable brokerage account, like the Vanguard Growth Fund, ticker symbol VIGAX, the Vanguard Mid-Cap Growth Fund, VMGMX, as well as the Small Cap Growth, VSGAX, Total International Fund, as well as the Energy Sector Fund, VGELX, and that Disney. Altogether, this $438,000 brokerage account is, for the most part, tax efficient. And again, the rest of their holdings and the IRAs, obviously, that money's growing tax deferred. So I think they've done a very good job in terms of having tax efficient portfolio. And the last grading category will be performance. We'll do that after the next break, and we will give them a final report card grade of A, B, C, D, or F. I also want to explain to you how you can use the right benchmark or yardstick for measuring investment performance. I don't want you to make the mistake that so many financial advisors and even some fund companies are using or doing. They're using the wrong yardsticks, and that's a big, big mistake. If you haven't had a chance to pick up my May ETF Profit Strategy newsletter, I encourage you to do that. Become a subscriber. Go to ETFguide.com. And when we come back, a portfolio report card for JL. This is a $1.1 million portfolio. Does it get an A, B, C, D, or F? You're going to find out. Go nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegge.
All right, welcome back from the break. This is the Index Investing Show. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. Follow us, tweet us, let us know how you're doing. I want to catch you up on a survey that just came out from TIAA CREF. They did this survey, 2015 survey of affluent investors, what they call their barometer. It was conducted on 1,200 affluent people who have investable assets of $250,000 or more. And I thought some of the results were pretty interesting. What are the key strategies and habits of affluent investors? What types of investment vehicles are they putting their money in? Well, 76% of respondents, and this was the highest type of or category of investment vehicles, their favorite, 76% invested in stocks, 73% invested in mutual funds, 41% in bonds. Those were the top three. And when it comes to choosing and balancing their assets, affluent investors clearly, in this case, favor stocks over any other asset class. Now, in terms of ETFs, because that's one of my favorite investment vehicles, I was kind of surprised to see that only 17% of this surveyed group of affluent investors use ETFs. So this is pretty interesting to me. Actually, quite contradictory to some of the other surveys that I've seen on ETF investing, where I've seen the opposite, where a number of ETFs were a favored investment vehicle for high net worth type of investors. So in this case, though, pretty much, again, stocks, 76% is the favorite asset class or investment vehicle. And again, this survey, TIAA CREF, the 2015 Affluent Investor Barometer, some interesting results. Now, we're going to give you this final report card, which we've been doing on today's show for JL. This is a $1.1 million investment portfolio. We looked at cost. We looked at diversification. We looked at risk. We looked at tax efficiency. The final grading category is performance. Now, the performance of your portfolio will either validate or incriminate its construction. If your portfolio, its performance cannot match or exceed the performance of a corresponding benchmark of indexes, that would mean that your portfolio is shoddily constructed. On the other hand, if you match or exceed the performance of that index, of a benchmark index, that asset mix that matches up with your portfolio's overall asset mix, well, that's what you want. Now, from March of 2014 to March of 2015, JL's portfolio gained 10.2% compared to an 11.5% gain for a blended index benchmark matching up with their same asset mix. Remember, 93% stocks, 1% real estate, 6% cash. Now, although JL's performance over the past year slightly underperformed our index benchmark for this period, that margin of underperformance wasn't that much. Pretty much what? Less than 1.5%. So they were right within range. So the final report card, portfolio report card grade for JL is a B. Now that's a good score. They certainly are nimble investors, and they've done that by cutting investment costs and taxes. I think that those two grading categories by far were the strongest categories. On the other hand, the portfolio's weakest grading category clearly is risk. 93% exposure to equities exposes this portfolio to significant volatility and some potentially large market losses to the tune of $200,000 to $400,000. That would take this $1.1 million portfolio back under $1 million, and it would sting. Also, diversification was another problem area. Now, certain parts of this portfolio are over-diversified because they own too much of the same thing. On the other hand, there are other parts of this portfolio that are under-diversified with no exposure to key asset classes like bonds and commodities. Also, they have no exposure to global real estate. They do have exposure to global REITs. I'm sorry, U.S. REITs, but they don't have exposure to global REITs or international REITs, I should say. So in conclusion, JL clearly, you know, in their mid-40s, they've got this nest egg of just over $1 million. They're excellent savers. Now what they need to do is fix some of these weaknesses we identified in their portfolio. And if they do that, well, I'm confident that they're going to reach their financial goals. Thank you very much, JL, for taking Ron DeLegge's Portfolio Report Card Challenge. And if you'd like to get your portfolio analyzed and graded by me, all you got to do is go to PortfolioReportCard.com and reach out. Now, I want to mention something that I think is very important. Today, there's a singular focus by certain financial advisors and fund companies and individual investors on minimizing investment cost, because in their world, cost is the only thing that matters. Unfortunately, this exceedingly narrow view fails to acknowledge that curtailing your portfolio's cost is only part of the overall puzzle for obtaining satisfactory investment results. What do I mean by that? Well, think about it this way. If your investment portfolio has super ultra low cost, yet it's ignorant about risk, it's ignorant about diversification, it's ignorant about tax efficiency, and it's ignorant about performance, well, that portfolio is not going to help you get ahead. In other words, a misaligned portfolio at any cost, high or low, is not the proper way to invest your money. And that's the point I want to make. And that's the power of my portfolio report card system, because it's not a one-dimensional. It doesn't have a one-dimensional view. It doesn't just focus on cost, but it looks at the big picture. The only five things that matter to your portfolio, those five grading categories that I've invented, that are part of the portfolio report card system, the one-page report that you get that tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio, don't just include cost, but those other key categories, those four: diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. So this is the power of Ron DeLegge's portfolio report card system. Now, speaking of performance, the mutual fund industry, Wall Street, many financial advisors and individual investors are still using inappropriate benchmarks for measuring investment performance. Now, the problem is, instead of getting truthful results, investors are given a distorted perspective of performance, and that leads to mistaken conclusions. Now, back in 1991, the great William Sharpe a Nobel Prize winner in economics, warned about this. He wrote, peer group comparisons are dangerous because the capitalization-weighted performance of active managers will always be inferior to that of the passive alternative. The former constitutes a poor measure for decision-making purposes. End of quote. Now, based upon my own informal studies, I concur. And I have found that there are four types of individuals and institutions that reject this robust performance comparison. You should always be using the passive alternative or passive index to compare your performance, not peer groups. And here are the four individuals or institution types that reject this method. Number one, Group A. They reject apples-to-apples comparisons because they want to cherry-pick benchmarks that skew their performance to an unrealistic but favorable way. Group B, they reject apples-to-apples comparisons of passive blended benchmarks because they're like the majority of the financial services industry, they're lazy. And then there's Group C, they prefer to be secretive about their performance record in front of investing clients because they don't want to be held accountable for results. And then finally, Group D, which doesn't measure performance because they don't know any better. So my own experience at analyzing and grading over $100 million in portfolios using my portfolio report card system shows a common thread. If a person's portfolio grades poorly in the first four categories of diversification, risk, cost, and taxes, it's almost guaranteed that they're going to score poorly in terms of performance. That does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Thank you for joining us. Tune in again next week. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.